Back together again, you and I chatting it up Thursday style, February 26th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I started the show telling critics of President Trump that I thought it was more than proper for the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team to accept an invitation to the State of the Union address earlier in the week. Let's keep the politics out of, I thought, the Olympic victory. New Canaan, Darianne Stanford, GOP State Rep Tom O'Day, and former GOP State Senate Leader John McKinney explained their thoughts on a so-called emergency bill at the state capitol.
All right. I'll admit it here, and I want to be honest with you folks, because I always am. I can be a bit of a troll, meaning a guy who, well, look, I get paid to say what I say here, 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. But when I'm online, when I'm on social media, if I see I've got somebody on the hook, I'll go right for the catch here, right? Is it too early to talk fishing with a bluefish tournament coming up? But I digress. So I'm online and I'm looking at people who for some reason think it's the end of the freaking world that the U.S. men's hockey team went to the State of the Union the other night. And I know, I understand it's all because of Trump. I get it. But some of the people have completely lost their minds on this. So I want to start with this today because I'm conflicted here. When I go trolling to see how crazy people are, am I misreading America here? Am I misreading you fine folks here in the state of Connecticut? I was participating in a discussion forum on admittedly a progressive site, but I said, hey, these are all grown men. They're not kids. They're young, but they're playing a professional sport. All the men's players play in the National Hockey League to one extent or another. They're all, to one extent or another, multimillionaires, some multimillionaires. Others are just multimillionaires. Something I think at this point in my life I'm not going to get to, but heck, you never know if I buy the right scratch-off ticket. And my comment was to say everybody just needs to calm the freak down here. These are men. They can make their own decision. And somebody comes back to me, a couple of three people, and I know I shouldn't. Part of me says, what are you even doing this for? Right? There's a part of me that answers these people on social media, especially on progressive sites. You know, part of me on one shoulder goes, stop it. Stop it. This is only bad for everybody. And the other part of me on the other shoulder goes, no, let's see how stupid people really are. And I'm getting lectured by people, well, they're in the presence of a fascist. What? Well, you know, it's tacit approval of Trump's agenda if they go to the State of the Union. No, it's not. Is this how dumb people have gotten now? Seriously, is this where we are? That, and again, I told you, I used to not like the phrase or the words or the acronym, you know, TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. It's a real thing now. And sociologists, psychiatrists, and other scientists are starting to say, yeah, it's true. People have lost the ability to proportionalize things if and when Donald Trump is involved. And I'm not saying they can't think what they want to think. But my God, I got this. All I did was put a couple of sentences and say, hey, let's all relax. These are grown men, and let them make their, you know, not everybody on the men's team went. It turned out 4 or 5 guys didn't go, whatever. But my God, what is wrong with us? Going to be acknowledged with the country watching, with tens of millions of people watching. Those young men from Team USA wearing their USA sweaters with their gold medals being honored in the visitors gallery was great. Are people that sour right now that they've completely lost their minds? How did we get here? Well, it's all because of Trump. No, you're letting him warp your mind. Well, it's, oh, and this is the one that got me. This is the one that I like almost physically heaved when I read it. Well, you know, here it comes, folks. You ready for this? Here it is. It's the H word. Here it is. You know, Hitler used to honor athletes as well. Oh, my God. Oh, please tell me we're not that nuts that a championship team, if it goes at the request of whomever the head of state of the U.S. is right at the moment, is suddenly tacitly approving anything? Do you think the guys on the American team, along with the coach and Mike Sullivan and his staff and everybody on down, do you think that this is suddenly some sort of a tacit approval of Trump? Come on. Stop it. You're not that dumb. Mind-numbing here. It's really, and I know I use, that's one of my go-to phrases here. It is mind-numbing. And you may say, well, geez, Paul, this was Tuesday night. It's 2 days ago. It's still out there. It's still all over the place. What does the visit of Team USA say to the American spirit? You know what it says to the American spirit? We're number one, baby. Pick a finger. How about if I give you this one? No, not the index finger, the other one. I mean, my God, what is wrong with people? No, it doesn't mean you approve everything. It's, listen, these guys are able to separate, I think, would you give them enough credit for the possibility of being able to separate the man from the honor? And you can dislike Trump with every fiber in your body. That's fine. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Well, they shouldn't have gone. Why? You get invited. You have achieved something that didn't happen since the Miracle on Ice team back in 1980, 46 years ago, almost five decades ago. And a bunch of whimpering simps out there are telling them not to go? Come on, is that what we are as a country? We're taking our politics so seriously now, over seriously, I think, that we can't even tell a championship team to go and receive an honor in the White House, and then receive the accolades of a nation at the State of the Union address. And the stories are still out there. Well, the flag waving, don't you? And again, admittedly, it's the Huffington Post. Why do I even try? It's the nation. But even some editorials around here in Connecticut. Well, you know, the U.S. victory has been tempered by. No, it hasn't been tempered by politics. No. We won. Canada lost. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to restrict any joy you feel. You don't have to restrict or limit any pride you feel, because some people can't handle it. My God, how dumb have we become here? So let me ask you this, and this is our question of the day to begin here. I can't believe I'm asking this 2 days after the fact. It's still out there, for God's sake. Did you have a problem with the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team attending the State of the Union address? I didn't. I couldn't care less if you paid me. And I guess the women are going to end up going to the White House, too. What's the big deal? Well, you know, hit, and again, this is the one that made me just throw my arms rhetorically up in the air last night. Well, you know, Hitler honored German athletes. Oh, my God, stop with the Hitler. Stop with the Nazis. Stop with the fascists. There's a midterm election coming up in a few months. Do you have anything else? You might want to whip it out right now if you do. But honestly, and we've got a lot of answers on this one, but what have we become here? The level of craziness that has set in upon us because a few dozen young men, multimillionaires, the best at what they do, coaching staff, training staff, support staff were invited to the State of the Union address. And oh my God, they decided to go. How dare they? You know, you people saying this, you know what you need to do? Go outside, take a walk, touch grass, breathe in. Here we go. Ready? Deep cleansing breath. Feel better? Call grandma or grandpa, nana or papa if they're around. Hopefully they still are. Or call mom and dad. Step away from the keyboard. My God. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Did you, and if you do, I'd like to speak with you about this. Here you have a bunch of guys, and eventually a bunch of gals, they'll go to the White House too. They were invited up front and said they couldn't go because of scheduling. I don't know. I hear from some sources I have who are close to the game that that may not be the case, but whatever. I don't get this. You're not approving of anybody by going somewhere. You're taking an advantage of the nation saying thank you. Maybe that's part of our problem. Maybe we just don't know how to say thank you enough. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. All right, settling in here, a lot coming up. We're keeping an eye on what's going on in the Capitol. The state may want to get into the insurance business, the health insurance business. Should we do that? There's an interesting editorial from the Hartford Business Journal on that. We'll get to that momentarily. But I got to tell you, I wanted to start with this today. Because I'm reading things online primarily, and it doesn't surprise me. But people are complete, they're nuts. They're crazy. I'm reading stuff, I said, well, you know, the hockey team going to the State of the Union, they're approving of fascism. Are you out of your mind? Wait, show me what part of your head you hit when you fell. My God, relax. It's not about Trump. It's not about fascism. It's about saying, nice job, gentlemen. Way to go. The country salutes you. And not everybody went. Four or five guys didn't go. But my God, is this all the other side has? And when I say this side or that side, it's not that I'm all on Team Trump all the time. You know I'm honest about that. But, you know, again, like Bill Maher says, and even a lot more conservative liberal pundits are saying now, you got to have more than we hate Trump if you're going to win again. My God. A visit to the White House by the Olympic gold medal winning hockey team and then to Congress where everybody stood up and gave them an ovation. You're losing sleep over that. That. Okay. We start with Chris in Reading. Chris, you're on WICC. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Good. I have a comment along the lines of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that you just have to, you can't hold resentments, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point, oh my God, I forgot.
It's okay.
The other point is that you got to be the bigger person.
Mm-hmm. You know, Chris, I took a seminar once, a corporate seminar. And one of the things that the instructor said he was very good, one thing that has stuck with me for the rest of my life, which is something along the lines of what you said. When you hold uncontrolled anger at something or someone, they're controlling you. Don't do that.
Exactly. It's like taking poison and watching the other person.
Yes. Chris, thank you. I appreciate the call. Thank you, Chris. Chris in Reading there. Yeah, I'm not saying you have to love anything or everything Donald Trump does. But my God, the overthinking of this. I'm seeing even credible progressive publications lose their minds about this. Do you think at the time where the team received a standing ovation and millions of people were watching it at home that they cared that it was a Trump invitation? No. Nobody with a brain cared. It's congratulations, men. Congratulations, boys. Nice job. Joe in Fairfield's here. Joe, how are you? What's up?
Hi, Paul. Yeah, I'm so proud of those young men that they did go. It shows spirit for our country, and it's totally about TDS. And these same people are the ones that will be okay with that Talib wearing that F ice button. They're okay with that, right? USA.
Yeah.
Team USA all the way.
Well, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. And again, I'm not saying that you've got to love Trump, or you can hate Donald Trump for as long as the day is, just knowing to draw the line. Just say, you know what, I despise. I had a couple of friends of mine say, man, I despise Trump, but it was good to see the team there. Yet, my God, the stuff I hear from people. Well, you know, Hitler honored his athletes. Oh, here we go. Hitler, Mussolini, Pol Pot, Genghis Khan. Who else should we mention here? Oh, my God. Jeez. All right, back to the phones momentarily. James in West Haven, hang on. You're up first. Traffic and weather together on WICC. All right, now on this program, on Melissa's show, the midday show with Lisa, the download with John and Chris, we've been talking about a controversial move that's going on to the state capitol here in the short legislative session, rolling several bills into one, not using the regular parliamentary procedures here in some way, shape, or form, public hearings and all that, under the guise of this is an emergency bill. Now, when you think of emergencies, you think of pandemics, bridge collapses, road collapses, major flooding, things like that. But there's a criticism here being aimed mainly from the Republican caucus to Democrats saying, hey, none of this is a real emergency here. And is there pandering going on because this is an election year? Now, that's my opinion. I'm not trying to put that into the mouth of our next guest or anybody else. Seriously, they can think what they want. Joining us right now, he's been a semi-regular on the show here, Republican State Rep Tom O'Day, representing portions of District 125, New Canaan, Darien, and Stamford. Hey, Tom, it's Paul once again. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Paul? And I can't say I disagree with much of what you said.
Yeah, so what's the deal now with this, and I'm using air quotes here, Tom, this emergency bill? What's going on?
So I argued that when it first was called this afternoon or this morning, I argued that exact thing. The emergency certification doesn't have a single reason as to why this emergency legislation needs to be brought out. It literally simply mentions the bills without giving a reason. And without getting into too much detail with your listeners, there's a statute, 2-25, 2-26, that requires them to, in writing, submit what the emergency is, the reasons for it, and they didn't do it. Unfortunately, they're trying to bypass, like you said, the normal course. And in all my years, I've been up here 14 years, I've talked to Patrick O'Neill and Vinny Candeloro, who've been up longer than I. This is the first time we can remember this ever happening like this, where they're trying to get bills that failed last year passed through this year without going through the hearing process.
Now, Speaker Ritter has said, Tom, that, well, you know, we had the public hearings on some of these bills last year. These bills are good bills. They've been in the hopper for years, and maybe it's just the Republicans who want to talk out the clock here and delay these bills. You probably heard that, Tom. What's your reaction to that?
It is literally February 26th. We have months to go through the process. And so if they want to say, hey, look, you know, we want to save time and just do this, okay, but it's not proper. It is not constitutionally proper. It's not proper by our rules. It's not the way things are supposed to be done. So I hear you, but at the end of the day, they're making a mockery of our legislative process. And I use those words carefully, because I do respect the good speaker, majority leader. I consider them friends. And I'm disappointed as much as I'm angry, because this is not how we've done things in the past, and this is not how things should be done going forward in the future.
And, Tom, I have heard reports and frustrations from the rank and file and the caucus, and also from news reports that not only is this happening this way, but, and you tell me, the actual timing of getting some of these bills and the actual writing and how these bills are crafted and little devil in the details stuff, is that kind of a slow process from what I hear or not?
Yeah, absolutely. So we didn't get this bill until, what, a couple days ago, and it's 121 pages, and literally they have they've got $3.85 million going to various entities, including almost $1 million to an entity that's being investigated by the feds for improper conduct. There's a grand jury going on right now in Hartford handing out subpoenas, and we're handing out money to them? I don't think it's the way we should be doing things. And, you know, look, Paul, you've heard me say this before on your show. You know, unlike D.C., which I call dysfunction central, Connecticut has done things differently. They've at least 80% of the time things that we do is bipartisan, and they listen to the minority. This is a way that they're going around us and trying to jam things through when it's just not the way we're supposed to do things.
All right, Republican State Rep. Tom O'Day, Darianne Stanford, New Canaan. Tom, keep your head up there or your head down, depending upon which one works, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, and thank you to your listeners.
All right, thanks. There you go. You may know him around Lower Fairfield County, State Rep. Republican Tom O'Day, District 125, New Canaan, Darianne, and Stanford. Joining us right now, as he does every Thursday, round about this time, quarter past the hour or so. You see him every Sunday on the Capitol Report, 10 a.m., with our buddy Tom Dudchick and all the panelists there. John McKinney joins us, former Republican State Senate leader. John, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Better than the folks in Hartford.
Yeah, let's talk about that, John. Funny what they call an emergency these days, John. We're not talking about a bridge collapse here or pandemics anymore or a massive fire or flooding. We're talking about emergencies here. You're watching this from afar. You were in the middle of this for years. What are your thoughts here?
Well, it's actually a little disappointing, to be honest with you, Paul. I've talked to you a lot, and I consider myself an institutionalist. And what I mean by that is there were a lot of people who served in the legislature before me and a lot of people after me. And it's really it's the institution. It's the House of Representatives, the Senate, that matters more than any of the people who are currently there continuing to do the work. So to see the leadership, the Democratic leadership with overwhelming majorities, take the unprecedented step at this early stage of a session to call an emergency to put together about 15 different pieces of legislation. There are 98 sections of this bill. None went through the regular order of business. None went through committees where they had hearings where the public could come talk about them. None went through what you would call like a markup in a committee, where a lot of times those bills are bipartisan and both sides work out in the kinks of bills, and they just threw it into one package. And so as a legislator, you're faced with reading a 98-section bill, more than 100 pages, and you may see one bill that you really like, and you may see one bill in there that you really hate. Mm-hmm. And the question is, now how do I vote? And if you hate the process, do you, lodge your objection to the process by voting no when you may like several of the bills in the bill? It really is not the right way to do business, and it's a little disappointing.
Yeah, a couple things here on that, John. A couple of stories that came out in the last few hours. Forgive me if you didn't see these, but I want to get your opinion on this. Connecticut News Junkie, their lead story right now. Yeah, I'll give you the headline here. You may have seen it. House Speaker warns Republicans of, quote, reactions, unquote, to filibustering bills with broad bipartisan support. And then the quote from Speaker Ritter is, don't do it, quote unquote. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I did. I watched his press conference today, and I like Speaker Ritter a lot. I think, Paul, I think things have just gotten more partisan since even I left in the last 10 years. Maybe that's an understatement of a lifetime. Yeah. And what he did say is, you know, if a bill passes the House of Representatives 151-0, every Republican, every Democrat likes it. You know, people in the state Senate, shouldn't say, well, I'm going to spend 10 hours talking about this. And when I was leader, I participated in a lot of quote unquote filibusters. And there were two types. One was, hey, we're going to have a bill to repeal the death penalty. That's a big question.
Yeah.
And that took about 12 hours in the state Senate because a lot of people had questions about it and felt very passionate about it on both sides. The other is we just want to waste time and kill legislation. I think that's where the speaker's talking about. So when I was leader, I talked to the Democratic leaders constantly, and we would always tell them, here are the bills that our guys really don't like, and we're going to talk a lot on them because they mean a lot to us. So run these bills earlier in the session.
Got it.
And they would do that. I think there's less conversations going on between the Democratic and Republican leaders in the state Senate. I think Matt Ritter, the speaker, and Vinnie Candeloro, the House minority leader, have a better relationship. And so I think that's what he's talking about. There was a lot of talk at the end of last session where a couple of Republican senators said, we're just going to kill everything. That's not keeping in the spirit of what I think it should be. But I think I also think, it, you know, the Democrats have been more willing to use this idea of cutting off debate. And I think they should sort of tone down their rhetoric, too. I think there's a little bit of blame here on both sides.
John McKinney is the guest, former Republican state Senate leader. You see him every Sunday morning at 10 on the Capitol Report on News 8. This one, John, caught my eye on the Connecticut Mirror, Mark Pazniokas' story right at 5 o'clock. Lamont won't rule out line item veto of earmarks in the emergency bill. The governor refused today to rule out vetoing parts of an emergency bill moving through the General Assembly. He's wary, apparently, John, it says here, over the inclusion of, here it is, provisions that give new earmarks or clarify badly written ones already in the budget. The governor's main quote here, I have concerns, unquote. Is he worried, John, about a lot of the, well, listen, number one, he's in an election year, and is he worried about the corruption angle maybe starting to stick a little bit or not? What do you think his thinking is here?
I don't think that's it. I think, first of all, I don't think the governor likes this bill the way it's been done either, because there's part of it in there regarding warehouse workers, which is really bad for business, which the governor had vetoed previously. But, the Republicans have put some really good ideas about how to have more transparency and accountability on earmarks. I've heard Democrats say they like them, but let's do that through the regular order, which is kind of interesting, right? and so I don't think the governor's worried about corruption. But the fact of the matter is that those earmarks, if, you know, we have a current sitting state Democratic state senator under federal investigation for misuse of millions of dollars of earmarks. If these earmarks haven't been properly vetted and something bad were to happen, it's going to fall on the governor's face, even though he had nothing to do with it. So I think he's very well within his rights to sit down with the Democrats and say, listen, I'm going to strike these out. You guys show me the paperwork. Show me these are legitimate. Show me these are good projects, because you haven't done that in this bill. And then we can do them later.
And, John, finally, I bring this up every so often, and my listeners yell at me and scream at me, and I love them. I don't make any bones about that. We all know that in the odd years, like next year, will be the long session where a lot of the real grunt work is. The short session this year and the even years, and this is one of the reasons being given by the leadership in Hartford on the Democratic side, saying, hey, we don't have a lot of enough time here. And John, you and I both know this goes back to the agrarian days of the state, as many state legislative rules do across the country. Is it time, John, maybe just to even out these sessions? Do you think so? You know, we're
I'm gonna be yelling at you too. And okay. No, we don't need a full time legislature.
Yeah, okay.
Look, the short session should be about tweaking the budget.
Okay,
looking at things that may have happened in the last session that were written poorly. Like, look at the bottle bill. You know, when they went from 5 cents to 10 cents, Republicans said, "Hey, people are gonna come from out of state, and it's gonna hurt us." And here they are fixing or trying to fix that problem.
Yeah.
That's what the short sessions needed. Look, they've increased the salary for legislators, but there's not enough work to do full time.
Okay.
I mean, you can do constituent service full time, but the more they're in there creating legislation, the worse it is for us.
All right. So you yelled at me. Well, that's fine. That's okay. Yeah. I don't understand.
I still love you, but no, bad idea.
All right, John McKinney, he'll have this and more coming up by this Sunday, 10 o'clock on the Capitol Report with Tom Dudchick and the entire panel right there. All right, John, thanks. Be good. Have a happy weekend, and we'll chat with you next week. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you, Paul.
All right, thank you. All right, see, well, a former Republican leader in Connecticut said, "I'm wrong, too." So how about that? So you people were right. See that? I will gladly take the loss here.